Herkules. Digitalizacija nasljeđa i identiteta srpske dijaspore.
As far as I know, you arrived here when you were 12 years old, right? You were born in Serbia. Yeah, and you arrived with your mom.
My mom.
Yeah, it's an interesting story. I think Vesna told me that your mom had to renounce your Serbian citizenship or whatever, like something that you have to forget about that before coming here, or did I get it wrong?
Well, what happened here, I'll make a long story short. When she was a child, mm-hmm. her parents went to Serbia because they had family there.
Mm-hmm.
Her mom got ill. She had two brothers, and her father, just after the mom died, her father decided, I'm going to stay in Serbia.
Mm-hmm.
So my mother actually was an American citizen because she was born here. And that's mm-hmm. fortunate for me because I was born and I became a citizen by her.
I completely relate to you because this was the condition for my father to leave Yugoslavia back then,
yeah,
to claim the inheritance from his grandfather, and the only way he could get passport was if he kind of declared his Serbian citizenship and be banned from Yugoslavia for good to go to France, because my father was an orphan raised by the only grandmother he knew. And the only grandmother he knew, she wanted to be buried in Belgrade with her six children and her husband.
Oh, wow.
My father said, I can't do this to my grandma. And he stayed in Serbia, in Yugoslavia, and we lost everything in France. It was nationalized. So we had a hotel, kafana, and a boarding house, and we lost everything because that back then that was how the things worked.
You
couldn't have had dual citizenship, especially if you wanted to go west. So
but I applied for my Serbian citizenship,
mm-hmm.
and I waited 4 years because to them I didn't exist. Because when I was born, they didn't have the number that mm-hmm. they have now, like our social security.
Exactly, yeah, like our social.
So they couldn't find me. I didn't exist.
Okay.
And it took me all that time to get a passport and citizenship for Serbia. So now I am dual.
Right. Okay. So you arrived here and
yes.
with your mom, and you spoke with your mom what? In Serbian or
yeah.
English?
We came here with hello, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. In English.
Those are the only words we knew.
Okay. And was it hard for
it
you
terrible.
At school?
Yeah.
At 12 years old, it was terrible. I mean, I couldn't. And I left all my friends there. You
mm-hmm.
know, I was in school and I loved it. And left my grandma and the loved ones.
Mm-hmm. So it was hard for language-wise, very hard. Did you try to blend in as soon as possible, as quickly as possible, language-wise here in America? Or was there any kind of resistance towards the new language, the new environment, you know? Do you remember that?
The lady that accepted us here took me to school, of course, when the school started, and the principal decided that I should go in first grade, which was devastating. I mean,
she was 12,
12 years old, you put me in first grade. I was a tall, skinny, funny looking kid that had clothes that her grandma made. And here I am in first grade. I hated it, I hated it. So I worked hard and I used to talk in the mirror. And I had to do a oral report. And I said something that I said, it was too much hot. And the teacher went, no, 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 and the kids were laughing. When I came home, I said, no one is ever going to laugh at me again. No one is going to do this to me again. And I just worked and worked. When I graduated, I was a half a year behind.
Oh. That's a great story, but Let me just tell you, it's completely opposite from the story I heard yesterday from our new immigrants, where the teachers in school told them, their 6 and 7 year olds, they should absolutely not speak English at home, speak Serbian. They will not be special in school for not knowing English, but they will be special for speaking two languages. So they had full support of American educational system to preserve the family language, basically. So see how these policies have evolved over time. Okay, so you did you speak to your mom then English in order to kind of master it as soon as possible?
Well, my mom didn't want to speak English.
Oh.
I mean, she was all Serbian, and it was hard because I had to make friends, but it was difficult because a lot of kids, you know, at that age, the kids, let's face it, the kids could be the meanest of
all.
But I just kept telling myself, and like now, you know, I don't get embarrassed anymore, but I'm old enough now, I shouldn't, but there's not many people that could embarrass me,
right?
Because I figure, hey, I've done it, I lived through it, and you can't do it to me again.
Are you proud of your knowledge of Serbian now?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. I love being there.
Right. How would you grade your knowledge of Serbian? I mean, I suppose you lost a lot of it from the time when you were 12 years old.
The sad thing is that when I was that age, our churches were locked. You know, we had the chains and the locks on the doors. So I didn't have the education of our religion like I wish I had. Even today, there's still a lot, even though I'm with them all the time, even though I go to the monasteries, Patriarch and I are like this, we're buddies now. There's still an awful lot of our religion that I do not know. And every so often, I'll ask one of my colleagues, and I'll say, tell me, what about this, and what about that, and what does this mean, and yada, yada, yada.
So actually, for you, religion is actually Serbian tradition, and you kind of balance or equalize these two things?
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right, and you feel Serbian here in America. You identify yourself as Serbian or as Serbian-American?
I always say Serbian.
You always say Serbian, right. And then you got married, and the things probably changed language-wise because you had your mom, who, as you said, refused to speak English or because it wasn't probably good
enough.
And
she was angry because I didn't marry a Serb.
Oh,
my God.
Yeah, of course. And
are you familiar with the Barry St. Saba Cultural Club?
Yeah, of course, of course. I used to go there very often when I lived here. I used to interpret for our guests from English to Serbian, Serbian to English, for some of the old diaspora who kind of lost their language. So yeah, I'm familiar.
When we came, my mother was introduced to that group. So she used to work there, volunteer and work there. I was excellent polo dancer. So Dr. Draskovic used to call and say, okay, we're having so-and-so coming in town this Saturday. You have to come, you have to perform. I even got married there.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
You had your ceremony there? Like a reception?
No, I had the at the church. Mm-hmm. But it was interesting because
the reception was what?
Reception.
Oh, so great. So, well, that tells, you know, this is the indicator of your husband being open towards our culture or language.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. To this day, he's my best supporter.
Right, okay.
Because, you know, not too many American men would understand me going to Kosovo all the time, going to, you know, at Christmas time, going to Serbia. I work with the Patriarch. We give away the gifts.
Mm-hmm. What about did you have children? Sorry for being a little bit.
Oh, yeah, no, okay. No. I had a daughter from my first husband. And then after 13 years, we decided that we just weren't meant for each other because he drank.
Was
and
he
I didn't.
Was he also American? An American?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Irish. The worst.
Yeah.
Anyway. and 13 years, and then I was divorced for 5, and then married the man I am now, 45 years.
Okay. So, with your daughter, you spoke English?
Yes, because I was married to her. There was no one at home to speak.
Right. So and did she speak English with her grandma, with your mom? How was their communication?
Well, to get a little more personal, my mother was an alcoholic.
Oh, sorry.
That's why this, I only drink very little.
Okay, I understand.
She didn't have much of a communication with my mom.
So she wasn't very involved in her granddaughter's life.
No, not at all.
Mm-hmm.
But my daughter goes with me to Serbia. She goes with me to Kosovo.
Does she speak a little bit Serbian or no?
Just words. Mm-hmm. You know, she has 2 dogs. And she taught them that when she wants them to do something or gives them a treat, she says, Sedi. Uh-huh. Sada, Sedi. And they sit.
Okay. This is actually very important because, you see, she tries to make this language link with her Serbian origins. You know, even though it's just on the small language chunk, Sada, Sedi, yeah. But she uses this is like a pragmatic marker for her situation.
But if you tell them sit, they just look at you.
Yeah,
you have to say.
So
it
the dogs, the dogs understand English, Serbian commands. Oh, the dogs are bilingual then. They understand a little bit of English and a little bit of Serbian.
But the only thing I think they understand Serbian is Sedi.
Okay, well, it's more than some Serbians know here. Right. So you actually basically abandoned, in a way, if I may be a little bit blunt, your Serbian while you were married with your child, with your first husband, because you said you spoke English with him, English with her.
A majority of the Serbs were angry with me because I didn't marry a Serb.
Oh, right.
And it was always like, well, you know so-and-so and he's a good man and blah, blah, blah. It was difficult for them.
Right.
So accept the fact, not like today. Today everybody
marries everybody.
Yes.
Right. And I'm interested, like, was your daughter all the time aware of this Serbian origin and identity? And
she was aware, but she was not with them enough to understand.
Because you say now she's very involved with this humanitarian work. And
my other daughter, which is actually, I don't ever use this word, stepdaughter. Mm-hmm. She works with me at the office. She's gone with me to Serbia. She volunteers at the office all the time with me. And she's got a lot of Serbian in her. Because I've dealt with Serbia now for 20 years with the charity.
Do you ever read anything in Serbian?
Yes, but it could take me a half a day to get so much read.
Right. What about when you go to Serbia and there are all those Cyrillic signs?
Oh,
and
I can do that.
You can do that, right.
And I can write.
Cyrillic.
I can write Cyrillic and Cyrillic.
Right, wonderful.
But it's for me to, in my brain, to transfer what I read to take into words and translate is difficult.
It's difficult.
So I have to read it and read it and read it until I go, oh, okay, this is what it is.
Do you think that it would have been an advantage had your Serbian not been a little bit neglected over time for you or no?
Yes, of course.
Of course.
I would love to be able to. And like I say, by the time I leave Serbia, I can carry on a conversation with people, no problem. I don't even have to think as hard.
Right.
Because in the beginning, I have to stop English in my head and think what I'm going to say and how I'm going to say it in Serbia.
Yeah. Do you think that, like, if you spend like a year in Serbia,
I'd be right back.
You will bounce back completely, right?
Yeah.
Okay.